I'm Allie Gertz.
And I'm Julia Prescott.
And everything's coming up podcast.
This episode is brought to you by several sponsors. First, Rock and Or Roll. Also sponsored by Alf. He's back in Pog form. And lastly, sponsored by Professor VJ Cornucopia's Fantastic Food Megorium and Great American Steakery. That was a mouthful, but that's what the joke was.
All great things. I would love for us to get some pogs with us on it, if that is something that
if anybody
the listener
has a pog hookup, that would be really great.
Hook us up with pogs. Today we are joined by Mike Kaplan. Hello.
Hello. Great to be here on your podcast.
Oh my God.
Wow. Mind blown.
That's all I'm here for. Gotta go.
Bye.
Thanks so much.
Yep,
follow him on Twitter.
I love his enterprising soul.
Happy today, to be here. Thank you.
You're here to talk to us about Bart Sells His Soul.
Yes. A favorite, you know, there's so many favorites. Like on Twitter, you don't have to have just one favorite.
No, you can have several.
It's a favorite.
Hey.
It's a retweet of an episode
of
mine.
Have you tweeted this material yet?
I'm about to. I hope that there's a robot transcribing everything and tweeting it out in 140 character increments.
Yeah, well, we can hire one if there isn't already.
Any robots listening that are out of work.
Or helper monkeys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Pray for Mojo.
Robot and or monkey, please. So yes, that is the episode. Is there a question that I'm not answering yet?
No, you're
Why
perfect.
Why that episode?
Maybe you're not perfect.
Oh,
answer that question.
Do you have a soul?
That is why I think the episode stuck out to me, because that's a question that I feel like, I mean, in general, my answer is no. I don't think anybody has, the soul isn't a meaningful thing to me, where... there's so many things in that episode that also just jumped out in my memory, like the line, how can someone with glasses that thick be so stupid? Something like that. I might be getting it slightly wrong.
Right.
No, that's exactly it.
But the idea of the soul, like, I believe in soul as a concept.
A genre of music.
Yeah, definitely. It's all about it, according to Billy Joel, who I call Billy Soul.
You do call him that. I've been meaning to ask you why you keep
What about when he's traveling through Korea?
I call that the capital of Korea, Joel, actually.
We don't talk about that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. We made a rule off podcast.
But I just remember, the episode, I feel like TV does this a lot. Like, you know, tries to represent what's going on in either life or people's conception of, what life is. Like, I used to watch the show Picket Fences, which I loved. And there's, an episode where it was around Christmas time. And a woman gets, and that's what we're here to talk about, right? This Picket Fences episode, great.
Yeah.
a woman is in a coma, and she is a virgin, and she is pregnant. So they can't figure out what, they're like, oh my God, a Christmas miracle. And here's what, to spoil a show that came out in the early 90s that very few people are probably going to watch. But if you don't want to spoil, quick, go watch it, because I'm about to say the ending. It turns out, there was some doctor who injected, she didn't have sex, but somebody injected, seminal fluid or sperm into her, and that's how she got pregnant without having had sex. But then at the very end of the show, they had said she would never wake up, and that was the ethical dilemma. They're like, what do we do about this baby? It could be a magical baby. Family wants her to let her go. Do they let the baby, and then she wakes up miraculous. So oh my God, an actual literal possible miracle. And they're like, maybe the Christmas spirit is real.
Right.
And so that's the thing. And I liked it. I don't have a problem with that. But it's the kind of thing where people are like, so maybe there is. And it's fine. I'm fine for people to live in wonder. And I don't have a problem if people believe that they do have a soul or that I do have a soul. If anybody has a soul, then I also have one. Definitely.
Right.
But I think whether or not we do, it's all the questions and answers are the same. Whether or not, what do you call the electricity? / magic that powers these weird meat suits,
Right.
I'm probably, I'm a meat suit, I am, or we all are, we're all a bunch of star parts. We are
Star parts, great band name.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also meat suits.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Meat suit and the star parts.
Yeah, on tour this summer in 1997.
It's actually a David Bowie album.
You're right.
The meat suit star parts from, anyway. I have no problem with people believing whatever they want as long as they're not and therefore I must murder all these people or keep them from their rights and such. But I think that it's all, you know, like, it's basically boils down to, like, be kind to each other. Like, you know, pursue what you want, do what you want, like, believe what you want, live how you want. And then, and like, my main impression of religion is, like, you're having fun wrong, you know?
Right.
And so I'm just like, I'm not trying to tell anybody that they're doing things wrong. I'm like, so if you're like, you have a soul, I'm not going to be like, no, let's fight.
right.
I'll be like, fine, you know, go right ahead, you know? Let you, you know, like when you're fighting somebody in Tai Chi, you know, if they come at you, like, don't just try to get in their way and, like, stop them. You get out of their way and let them stumble and fall on their face.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And help them.
The very relatable
Tai Chi example. I started taking Tai Chi recently.
Do you want to talk about it, Mike?
A little. There's another one of my favorite Simpsons episodes. Lisa mentions that she, I think, started doing a little Tai Chi and drinking a little chai tea. So.
Oh, I love that.
That's a fun one also. But that's not this episode.
Right.
Yeah. So we've got a little bit of insight on your opinion of religion and souls.
Oh, sure.
But what more about this episode in particular jumps out to you? Is it the Mo side story that I forgot was in this episode?
No, what a treat.
It's so different. Yeah.
I thought it was its own episode.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah, I sort of considered it as its own episode. And of course, that is the plot that Mo has decided that family restaurants are all the rage because Dr. Hibbert mistakenly takes Mo's bar to be a family restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
And he tries to bring his family into it, who strongly resemble the Cosbys. And Mo decides that he needs to get into the TGI Fridays game and decides to create Unky Mo's Family Feedback or Uncle Mo's Family Feedback,
which is a perfect name.
Yeah, it's so good.
What would you have named it if he hadn't come up with that?
Uncle Mo's Family Feedback. Probably something that has like an impossible acronym. You know, like the way that TGI Fridays is, but like something else that like, it doesn't even spell out anything. Like a bunch of consonants.
You could just leave it Uncle Mo's Family Feedback. Then it's like umfububub.
Umfububub. Yeah. And then that's, you know, inquiry, like intrigue, you know, it's just like everybody wants to know, what does that stand for?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any names that you would pitch to Mo?
I mean, I would recommend not calling himself, he's like, you know, he's a creepy man enough already.
Yeah,
like,
Uncle Mo.
Leave Uncle out of it.
Yeah, definitely. You're a stranger that you shouldn't talk to, Mo.
Right.
But a fine man to pay money for food.
Right. But, I mean, uncles are undoubtedly the creepiest members of any family.
Which is, yeah, that's sort of the flip side of, you know, I mean, one of the things that male privilege doesn't deliver is the ability to not be creepy if you are, you know.
The uncle?
Yeah, like, hey.
Or even more so, your dad's best friend who says, you can call me uncle, fill in the blank.
Oh, no, yeah. I would never, I don't really name myself things like,
right.
You can call, I mean, call me whatever you want.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, Mike, that'll be the name in general, like, I made a weird spelling a long time ago, and that sort of, but it's still Mike. Mike is my name. Mm-hmm. And people are like, hey, do people call you Michael? Can I call you Michael? Like, you can call me Michael.
right.
Totally
I will respond to it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like, Mr., if you want, like, you know, all these things, like, I'm not going to demand anything.
Right.
But yeah, uncle, you know, if there are children that, I mean, I don't have any siblings, so I don't have any, like, direct, you know,
nephew, niece situation.
Exactly. I have like some step nieces and or cousin, you know, like little children, cousin type things.
What do they call you? Just Mike?
They don't even.
Can we call you Uncle Mike?
Yeah.
Is that the issue? They don't call you. Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah.
Our special guest today is Uncle Mike.
I mean, it's fun because like it's fun. That's not the beginning of the sentence, but the thing I want to say, it's fun because just unrelated topic.
Right, that's not fun at all.
As one ages, which everyone always does.
What do you mean?
No, except for you young people.
I thought that I had fame and I was going to live forever.
Oh, yeah. No, that's just a song.
Oh, weird. I thought songs spoke the truth.
That's the song by David Bowie, Meat Suit and the Star Parts. That's the lyrics of that song. Nothing to do with the title.
Yeah, classic Bowie.
Well, like, even the thing that I just said, like, I'm in my 30s, and I will be in my 40s, I assume, you know, God or non-God, soul or non-soul, non-willing, you know, whatever. But I saw a cartoon once that was like, it might have been like a Saturday morning breakfast cereal webcomic. Do you know that comic? I love it. I think it was that, but it was something like that, where there was like, how you feel and how you look. And then there's like a little girl, it's like as a little girl and then as a teenager, as a woman, you know, a larger woman, an older woman, and then eventually an old woman. And then on the inside, it was always the little girl. It was just, you always feel like this little girl.
Right. Wow.
And so I feel like that's the same kind of, like, I know that I'm different now than I was when I was a younger person. Mm-hmm. I mean, in some meaningful ways, like, you know, I have some gray hairs. I have, like, a more receding hairline. Mm-hmm. I know that, I mean.
All hair-related, though.
Yeah. The only things.
I feel like that's the base of male aging neuroses, though.
I look like a little boy, but with, like, less hair. That's
right,
all.
Right, right, right.
People are very confused. But the point is, like, so if somebody was like, oh, you're, like, uncle aged now, like, you could be, right. You would be an yeah. uncle. And I'm like, yeah, I guess. So yes, it would be totally. I'm not like, hey, I'm not a. I wasn't. I was supposed to be the only one who wasn't aging. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think we all have that in us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is true that Mo is definitely creepy. Mm-hmm. But something that's funny to me is he's shelling out all this cash and all this hard work. Why didn't he hire someone else to deliver the fries?
Oh.
Because he should not be the face of the company.
Comedically funnier. You know, it just works out
from
better.
From the writer's yeah. point yeah. of view, mm. it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. He's not totally self-aware. It's funny, like, I also didn't remember, like, when you asked, is this what the reason that I picked this episode? I definitely didn't, because I didn't remember that this was part of
None
right.
this that's
episode.
So funny.
Much like, I mean, I feel like that's like a microcosm of Mo. It's a macrocosm, mm. if mm-hmm. you needn't. But, like, that he is this forgettable, like, come on, you got
right,
nope,
right,
nope.
right.
And nothing, like, nobody, you know, kind of nobody loves him or cares about, like,
yeah,
does he have
and
any
he, and
family?
He has an awareness yeah. of that, too. I mean, he's very depressive and constantly talks about suicide. And
constantly.
Like
yeah, we've, you know, on the podcast, we've looked at quite a bit of Mo, and I think that yeah. he is a character that does stick with types like us.
Right, right. Well, I think just thinking about, like.
What's your type? That what are the what's the type you're talking about?
People that are obsessed with The Simpsons.
Okay. yeah, he's always listening to Homer. that goes for something.
He's just a great character because all the reasons that we've said, like how dark he is, like
right, right.
No other character gets quite as dark.
He's
in
dark
that
and he's,
way.
He's dubious too, but dubious. I don't know even if that is the word. I'm thinking about like all like the back alley stuff that he does through the bar, like
I
the
love it. Like the yeah. like
the
whales.
Whale and like the pandas and stuff like that. And so he's kind of like fine, like morally with breaking the law in like a very big way, but we don't hate him for it because he's not maniacal like Mr. Burns would be. He's
yeah,
just sort
he's
of like,
charming.
Eh, what do you want? I own a bar. Like I'm trying to do my best.
I've been given this lot in life. It's yeah. more of a little, so
right.
I gotta take what I can.
Yeah, yeah. And I also going back to the plot line of his in this episode, I forgot that this is where Mr. Stinky originated.
Oh, did that return frequently? Is that
I've just seen that in like a lot of memes and like tattoos.
Got
people
a lot
love,
of tattoos.
People love Mr. Stinky as a tattoo.
I definitely remember that. Like, I mean, obviously, I remember that whole plot line once it kicked in, and then when that Mr. Stinky, like a child, drew a picture of him,
right, right,
said it was Mr. Stinky.
You got the smell lines too.
I think the stink lines.
Oh,
fact,
stink lines.
Yeah.
Ooh, sorry,
all,
that's even better. Better line
through the whole thing. yeah, you got the stink lines and everything.
Yeah.
Has anyone pointed out? I don't know if I'll be the first to that Homer. Has the word Mo in it backwards. Like, you could just rearrange
oh
letters
my
of Homer.
God.
A big word
I mean,
Smith
it's,
guy.
If it's just M-O.
You
or you
love
have
it.
All the letters of M-O-E if you want them.
I love it.
Hermo. Anyway.
Thank you very much.
You got it. Hermo Simpson.
I can always rely on you for wordsmithy stuff. You and Zach Sherwin. I love it.
Oh,
we enjoy doing
Dolphinately.
It.
Yeah.
Dolphinately.
Dolphinately.
We should read from our Simpsons guide.
Yeah,
please.
Yeah. We like to read the first paragraph just to catch people up in case it's been a while since they've seen this episode. So they summarize it as, while cleaning the church organ as punishment for a prank, Bart and Milhouse argue about the existence of the human soul. To prove that there is no such thing as a soul, Bart sells his to Milhouse for $5. Shortly afterward, Bart notices some strange changes. His pets act hostile toward him. The automatic doors to the Quickie Mart do not open for him. And he no longer thinks that Itchy and Scratchy is funny. Noting that laughter is a language of the soul, Lisa begins to suspect that Bart really has lost his soul.
I love that. That's a perfect description.
Yeah, perfect
and it
summary.
Just made me remember all the jokes I love in this episode.
Yeah.
My favorite line from this whole episode is, way to breathe, no breath.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
yeah. Yeah. When Jimbo and all the bullies are trying yeah. to like, they breathe on the glass of the ice cream thing and write, bite me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, some guy's going to see that. It's going to blow his mind.
Bart tries, but cannot do
he
it.
Can't yeah. do it. I wonder, I mean, I remember when I saw that episode. I mean, what year is this episode?
It was season 7. Yeah.
1995.
So I'm 5 or so when I'm seeing this, 4 or 5. But when I got older and saw it, that always stuck with me. Like, I mean, of course, the show just really shapes who you are as a person when you're a little kid watching it. I remember definitely thinking that that was something that I might be able to do and not do. Like, the idea of, like, soul ownership was real as a kid.
Yeah, you know what really stuck with me from this episode was, so Bart has a very haunting dream where he is imagining all of his friends, you know, in a boat, like, rowing to some sort of, like, oasis.
You and your soul.
Yeah. You and your soul.
Each has a paddle.
Right, right, right. And Milhouse has Bart's soul, so it's Milhouse's soul, Bart's soul, and Milhouse is just, like, you know, lounging.
Kicking
and,
it back.
And Bart can't do it because he's, you
going
know,
in
just,
circles.
Yeah, going in circles. And just that, like, image of, like, hanging out with your soul, which looks like a ghostly version of you, was really haunting to me as I was a child watching this and trying to figure out religion for myself and being forced to go to church every Sunday and trying to decipher if I found any meaning with it. Turns out I didn't really. But, you know, whatever.
Well, I guess the part where... So Bart has just sold his soul to Milhouse and then tells Lisa, she's like, where'd you get that $5? I want $5. Can
Which
I have $5?
Yeah. Hilarious.
Mm-hmm. And then he tells
Very kid
her.
Very thing to say.
Oh, yeah. He said, but, and she's like the smart, you know, the most adult kid, because then when he says, oh, I sold my soul for $5.
Right.
And she's like, what? And then she like says the most reasonable things about like, you know, maybe there is no soul, but it's like this symbolic thing that represents, you know, who you are and how you move through the world. And but because it's symbolic, like one could make the argument in return to be like, oh, yeah, that's why I, of course, the symbolic, like whether I write down that I've given my soul away on a piece of paper, like I've just like tricked my friend out of $5. Like the soul doesn't leave my body because I wrote these things down. Like, and then obviously I'm like, hey, this cartoon doesn't make sense because the automatic doors would still work for an evil person, a soulless automaton.
Right.
I like when Marge is putting Bart to bed and she's like, I sense something is wrong. And he's like, is it that I have no soul? And she's like, oh, no. You're not a monster.
Yeah. Right. But they, I mean, besides jokes like that, they don't really go into like the moral definition that comes with having a soul and not having a soul. It's just about like a feeling that you feel within yourself.
And I mean, like when Bart's watching Itchy and Scratchy and he does, he's like, I see that it is funny.
That's like hanging out with a comedian.
Yeah. Oh God, I get so self-conscious about the fact that I just don't laugh for like 90% of the time.
It is. I mean, we are in our own ways like martyrs for the rest of people. You know.
Yes, you're right.
I do not laugh, so you can.
No, I feel like I'm just in like a really jerky study mode that I can't get out of. You know.
But everyone, I mean, man, but the times that you do, like there are.
I know. It's such a treat.
A beautiful thing.
And you know, when it does happen is when a man gets hit in the nuts by a football.
Boing. One of the things that I didn't remember from this episode is when Milhouse is saying just like, well, what would they have to gain? And we cut to Reverend Lovejoy counting change. That's
What a joke.
It's a very subtle, great, snarky joke.
It's so snarky, and it's really funny because we've been defending The Simpsons by saying that they go to church when we talk to people that, you know, weren't allowed to watch it growing up. Just like, well, they're a church-going family. They're good people. And then you see jokes like that, and you're just like, I could totally see a mom walking in on that scene and being like, you are not allowed to watch this anymore.
Yeah, this episode in particular really, really addressed the whole religion presence within
show.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that goes to the whole idea that, you know, whatever you believe or whatever there is, whatever truth to, you know, your spirituality or a mass spirituality, like the building doesn't matter, the brand doesn't matter, like the exact rules you follow, like don't eat pork, do eat pork, like don't mix your cotton, do, you know, like all these like, you know, minutiae like that can be meaningful to you, like anything can be sacred, like, but if God is, you know, for some people God is everywhere, you know, for like a Taoist, just sit by the river and then and, you know, be one with the way, you know, or go every week have, you know, take, if not the Sabbath, you know, have a, like, relax, you know, like, take a break from, like, there's so many, like, so whatever the case, like, obviously, I do think that because they know so much about, like, church, like, somebody on that show, like, cares or believes something, And they're like, you know, it's sort of a dichotomy that exists, like the hypocrisy of, you know, people run churches.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But beyond people, maybe, and you know, I think obviously the idea that, oh, these people have a pipeline to God, you know, like right. the Pope can call up, or you know, as Joan Osborne famously said, I don't know if you guys know that song. It's what if God was one of us?
Oh, right, right. I don't think I knew that it was by Joan Osborne.
You
neither
got it.
Did I.
Just a stranger on the bus.
Oh, yeah.
On his way home.
You know it.
Yeah.
Nobody calling on the phone, except maybe the Pope in Rome. Except for the Pope, maybe in Rome, is the exact verbiage, I think. Perfect. Doesn't matter.
It does matter.
Yeah, we're going to get emails. Thank you.
Nothing matters more.
No, but my whole point is that the thing matters.
No,
not the
you've already said it. It's done.
But yeah, so I mean, clearly, I mean, I was also a person who was, I was not allowed to watch The Simpsons when it first
Whoa,
came out.
Really? Oh my God, you're our first guest that hasn't been allowed to, so we need to expand on that.
I am older, so it's also, I think, I was going to say, makes more sense, but it makes less sense. Like,
yeah, right. How old were you when the first season came out?
I guess, it first came out in like 89, 90, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. I was around 11 or 12.
Right.
And like, I feel like all, like, if not all, many of my friends were watching it, but my mom is like a sort of like a mainstream, like conservative-ish liberal, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, where we've had conversations where maybe like 10 years ago when gay marriage was first becoming, like, you know, in Massachusetts, in the news, and she's like, I think like civil unions make sense. Like, she, you know, sort of bought into that thing because she, you know, like, you watch the news and they're like, you know, on the one hand, evolution, on the other hand, intelligent design, two equal ideas that deserve merit, you know, equal merit. And I was like, oh, but, you know, like, marriage used to mean this thing where it was a man owning one woman, then having many concubines and this sexist thing. So the idea of a traditional marriage. And she's like, oh, yeah. Like, when I would say a reasonable thing, she would get on board with that reasonable thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what she believes now. Her views are evolving. And so I feel like the same way. And she was just a very, like, peaceful. Like, I wasn't allowed to have guns of any kind, toy-wise or real.
Oh.
I wasn't allowed to have, like, water guns. The Nintendo Zapper, like, was thrown away. Like, I could have, like punching toys, you know, or like swords or, you know, things with not real swords. I have to make clear. But she was just like, I didn't want, she's like, I'm uncomfortable with that. And like now I've gone through like many phases. Like I love like horrible action movies where people get, you know, like punched a lot and or, you know, there's a lot of shooting. I like the better, the more choreographed ones where it's like more like martial artsy dance stuff than just like, you know, the Expendables, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
The point is, my mom, like, so she, I wasn't allowed, I was allowed to watch, like, sexy things more than violent things. Like,
interesting.
I saw, like, you know, movies with boobs way before I was allowed to see, like, things, you know, exploding. And I wasn't allowed to see the first Batman movie when it came out in 1990, and I was about, like, 11.
A lot of good boobs in that movie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that movie I watched again recently, it is so, like, people are like, man, that's, like, when it got dark, you know, compared to the campy Adam West 60s
right.
version. It's also super campy.
Still campy.
Right.
It's pretty ridiculous.
I would argue that it was super campy until Chris Nolan picked up the phone.
But they, I mean, at the time, it was like, oh boy, it's pretty dark compared to when he wore blue underwear.
Right,
and
right.
like said zoinks.
Yeah.
Which he got from The Simpsons. And, but yeah, my mom was the kind of person, and the specific person that was like, I think fed into the idea of like, oh, this is a counterculture. Bart was like the star in the beginning, I'm Bart Simpson. Who the hell are you? And, you know, not that my right. mom cared that people say hell or that, but that sort of, you know,
that
anti-authority,
yeah.
I guess like that. We never actually really talked about like why couldn't I watch The Simpsons? But so that's the
call her up.
Yeah,
we could wait.
Let's get her on the horn.
It was that first season, that Bartman season.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Oh wait, that Bartman season that I think really turned off a lot of moms because of it seeming like Bart was going to be the star and that he was going to have like this shitty attitude. Just
Which
toward
totally
life
makes
and
sense.
Authority.
How would anyone have ever guessed that this show was going to be so emotionally complex?
When how
could you know? It It honestly makes sense for parents
right.
to not let them.
Unless somebody was like, but I trust James L. Brooks, and
exactly.
I understand that he's going to. No, where are you going?
They couldn't have known without actually
Sam
watching
Simon
it.
Is gonna. Yeah, no way.
Yeah, and just the church stuff, in addition to the, you know, the idea that that they're taking people's money. Right. I just remember, and it will always stick with me, the feeling that they get once they get out of church. First of all, the prank is hilarious. Playing that song is so funny. The animation is perfect. Mm-hmm. It's everyone's so hot and tired, and I love that Homer and Marge have a moment together.
Right, right.
Remember when we made out to this hymn?
Yeah, so they understand what it is.
Yeah, which is hilarious.
Yet still sing and are like, all right, chill. I guess church is just getting really great.
Yeah, I love
it. It's like the seventh season of a show. It's just starting to pick up.
I love it. But I love when they get home and they're so excited to be done and kick off the shoes.
Yeah.
And just that, this logic has always been kid logic. Just like, we're the farthest we could be from the next time we have to go to church.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, that's, I'm keeping this. I'm keeping and using this forever.
That's how I felt growing up about my violin lessons.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Like, I would, Monday was my violin lesson. It was like the first day of the week of school. Like, so right after the weekend, I was like, oh, God, like just dreading it all day. And like the second I get home, I'm like, the longest. This is the most, this is the most free that I would ever be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was specifically that way about church, too. I actively tried to distract myself and dodge going as much as possible. I, like, begged my dad to bring me scratch paper to draw on. I was so bored all the time.
Do you know, speaking of, like, the way that, like, you talk about, like, kid logic and, like, the way we treat children, like, the way children are treated, the way that, you know, like, I was treated, I feel like probably, you get, like, parents and adults are always like, this is the way it is for a good reason. Like, I'm thinking about asking my mom, like, why couldn't I watch The Simpsons? Like, why couldn't I have a water gun? And, like,
yeah.
I get the broad strokes, but now I feel like if I had kids, which I don't plan to, but like I would, like I personally, like I didn't smoke pot till I was 24, partially because I was like, I want to be able to tell my kids with a clean conscience, you shouldn't do it, and I never did it.
Right,
I'm not
right.
a hypocrite. And like now, if I had kids, I'd be like, oh yeah, I didn't smoke pot till I was 24. The research suggests that if you start smoking it when you're a teenager, you'll be stupider, and it can affect your brain in ways that scientifically are relevant and substantial in ways that if you wait until, you know, you're old enough and it's legal and things are different now. But I remember thinking like, that really got into me, that just like, oh, there's a right way to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And that, but then when you get to be an adult, like now, I mean, from as anti, like my parents were like, don't smoke, don't do drugs, don't drink, you know, all those things. And I still have never really smoked a tobacco cigarette and don't, and now because I don't want to, like
it doesn't seem appealing.
Yeah. Not that I wouldn't, but I mean, I certainly don't want to get hooked. And so I have other stress relief methods, but
black tar heroin.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I use.
Yeah.
Real pure stuff.
You gotta find your own path, you know? Don't follow the crowd.
But I remember, like, thinking, like, now my mom sees me do comedy shows sometimes, and I talk about the drugs that I've used, and I've used more than marijuana.
Right.
And, like, you know, not heroin, not cocaine.
Tell
but
us.
Many, you know, mushrooms, some LSD, ayahuasca,
hell yeah.
How is ayahuasca
it's
for you?
It's the best. We don't have time to get into
Uh-oh,
it. But,
okay.
After the podcast.
Yeah. Sure thing.
Yeah. I, too, am curious.
I mean, I'm happy to tell you something.
You gotta bring your own puke bucket.
That's all
I know.
They have one.
They provide them.
Oh, how nice of them.
100%.
Yeah, that's so good of them.
Yeah.
Well, you're paying a lot of money.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
it's a service.
They can afford, it'd be like having to bring your own, you know, like, fork to a restaurant.
Right.
Like, we'll take care of
Should
that.
Should I stop bringing forks to restaurants?
You can. You're
How come
to?
No one's told me this?
Well, they just said, maybe she's nice.
So, she is happy.
She seems happy.
But, like, now my mom, like, there have been times in my life where, like, I think one time my grandmother saw on Facebook that I had done a podcast where I talked about doing mushrooms, and my grandmother on Facebook was like, what's that? Or asked me about it, and I was like, oh, mushrooms, they're a non-addictive hallucinogenic. Like, I was just like, I guess, what am I going to do? Like, we're adults. I'm not going to lie to her.
Yeah.
So I just told her what they were, and she was like, okay, as long as it's not addictive. I'm like, oh, what a crazy, like, if I were a child, she would have freaked out.
Right.
And the same way that my mom, like, now I'm telling jokes about doing drugs in front of my mom, and she just learned this year she's like, I didn't know mushrooms were a thing you could do. Like, and so I didn't really get into it extensively, but I'm like, oh, you grew up, you're fine now. Now you can make your own decisions. Like, so, oh, turns out maybe we were a little more conservative, tighter,
not
more than we needed. But I guess as a parent, you're just like, I want to do all the things that'll make my kid not die. I understand drugs could make them die, even though drugs don't, like, if I had a kid, I'd be like, these drugs will make you die. These drugs don't do yet, but, you know, if you're going to, then you're going
within
to.
Within reason to guide them down the proper path.
Right, and be like, you know, alcohol, if you do it like this, will make you die. Yeah. Like, if you do it like, you know, there's responsible ways to do some things.
I think that's the better way instead of just completely saying no and then not providing the explanation.
And so the point is, church is like that, but for adults. So, mm-hmm. like, church is just like, you gotta do these things. And, like, you know, if there is an afterlife, you'll get there and they'll be like, oh, yeah, you didn't need to do it. You could have done more right, drugs. Right. You could have done these things. You could have, well, I just wanted to make sure that I got here to heaven. So we're all fun. I just wanted to make sure that, like,
it's sort of like realizing I didn't need to go to college and being a comedian and a writer.
Oh, 100%. I mean,
oh, that was totally extra credit. But you know what? Good that you did.
Yeah, like that is exactly how it should be put. Extra credit.
Yeah, absolutely.
The way that I think of conceive of things like that is that if you have imagine like a penny on the ground and you're like, oh, it's heads up. Great. If it's not heads up, hey, it's still a penny. Like it's equally a penny.
Right.
You could flip it over yourself. You could conceive of luck in a different way. Like there's no way that penny has a connection to the you get good luck if it's one way but not another. So but the way you could, like, everything's a penny. Your life, you know, schooling or not schooling, like it's all a penny. Like college, bonus, heads up. You're like, okay, great. You got some more knowledge. You got some things. You did some whatever it is. Like okay, now that's every moment you have. You can think of it as, like, it's always a penny, at least a penny, and now, some heads ups every once in a while. And so just the idea that, you know, church's rules are like, yeah, you gotta do this just in case. And they're like, I think, you know, I'm a grown up now. Here's the things that I think I have to do or should do or want to do to live life according to the way that I want to. And I feel like, you know, the people...
Including watching The Simpsons when you were no longer being told you couldn't.
Oh, yeah. At a certain point, it was probably only a couple years later that I, like, my parents, we moved, my parents got divorced. I was then, you know, age 13, man, according to Judaism.
Yes.
And I don't know if that was the reason that my mom was just like, well, now you can, like... I wasn't allowed to eat, like, sugary cereals before that or, like, you know, have Doritos in the house. And so now I'm just, like, watching. And I was only allowed to really watch, like, a half hour to an hour of TV growing up, period, like, a night. You know what I mean?
Hope, wow, really? I would hope the minimum were at least 30 minutes because that's how long programming is.
You can only watch one adult swim short. 17
minutes, yeah.
Enough to get hooked, not enough to get a resolution.
Yeah.
But then...
Up until the last commercial break.
In high school, I started watching, like, I would just eat tons of, you know, garbage food.
Right.
And just watch from, like, 6 p.m. until midnight, just
that
whatever
was, drugs.
Was... Oh, yeah, that at the time, 100%.
Yeah.
That was what was bad going into me.
So what did you remember from this episode that, like, stuck with you before you did a rewatch? We all forgot about Moe's, but are there certain moments that...
Oh, yeah. Non-Moe-ments, but guys, we're having fun.
Yeah.
The moment where Milhouse's grandmother, like, when Bart shows up at 2 in the morning, she's like, there's a knock at the door, a caller at this hour?
Mm-hmm.
You hit 9-1, and then when I give you the signal, hit 1 again.
Yeah, I love how she's drawn, too. I love when they take, like, our standard characters and make them old.
Yeah,
or
exactly,
you know, create grandmothers for them and stuff.
Yeah, Milhouse just wearing a wig. And
totally, it was so good.
Yeah, I mean, I said before, the how can somebody with glasses that thick be so stupid? That's just a the idea of somebody with glasses as smart as, and we all have glasses, so we're all.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and there is something too, like, in order to know that you need glasses, like, you may, if they're for reading, you have to be able to read.
Right.
So, like, you're more likely to have more skill, like, more observational skills, mm-hmm. at least enough, like, oh, I've needed glasses my whole life, and I never came across a reason to know it.
Right.
But that, I mean, the scene that you mentioned, Julie, about the rowing with your soul partners, and, like, that was
so
the
iconic.
reason mm-hmm. that I brought up the that Picket Fences episode, because that was, I feel like, the same kind of thing being done by these guys. Like, oh, in some sense, in the world of The Simpsons, not having a soul, like, I mean, Bart, in some sense, either through placebo effect or actuality, like, didn't have a soul for the time between when he sold it and when he got it back.
Right.
So he was not making, you know, all these things were happening
mm-hmm.
that he, like, either that they're like, oh, the idea of a soul is powerful. Like,
right.
That's the message of this episode, even if it's not literal, even if it's just symbolic. Like, you will not open electronic doors or laugh at things that you think are funny
mm-hmm.
or have breath come, you know, whatever the case may be. And so that was the thing that I don't, you know, and again, I'm not, like, resentful of this, but then at the end, like, oh, finally, I mean, I guess I liked Lisa's, which I also remembered, like when Lisa returned the soul to him.
Mm-hmm. That bonding moment between siblings.
And then her pointing out that, like, the, you know, some people think that you don't have a soul until you acquire it through, you know,
earning it,
suffering, like all that you experienced, like the doing. And that is a message that I can completely get behind, is that, you know, you become a person through experience and activity, not like, oh, you have this thing, and like, oh, a baby, if it didn't get baptized, it's sorry, it's in limbo now. Those are just the rules.
Right, right.
Like, sorry, this baby's allergic to wheat, so it can't have the actual body of Jesus that it turned. Like, you know, all those specific rules. So it's very, and this is actually an ayahuasca insight as well, that it's about, there's guidelines. Like, I'm more of a person who's like, guidelines, not rules. Like, you know, If you get, you know, stuck and cling to any one thing, any idea that this is how it should be or needs to be or whatever it is, 200% concrete, like, and, you know, you don't bend on it, then you will, you know, you'll end up in a really absurd situation if everything else changes around you. Right. So, like, the guidelines are, oh, yeah, if church is your thing that gets you there, if religion is the thing that gets you to be a good person.
If it's Pogs.
whatever it is, like, be and do, like, have the experiences that shape you into who you are, like, in the world or, you know, in your mind. And then, like, the rules aren't like, oh, you must do this. It's that this is what happens. It's descriptive, not prescriptive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. And I like in this episode how they address those rules that are present within religion, but kind of subvert them in a way that is still respectful. You know, like, if that's your thing, for sure, go for it. But they're not saying, like, church is bullshit, you know, outwardly. It's great.
Yeah, and The Simpsons is always really good at showing many viewpoints. Obviously, we have people that love and need church, and then we have people that kind of go the way that most people I know went, which was kind of begrudgingly, and because it is considered to be a rule, you have to go to church. But there are also people that have different religions and are atheists, and I love it. I love that you get to see that, especially as a kid, or I guess any age, it's just good to see, like, oh, yeah, all these characters are important, and they all have different beliefs.
It's neat that, like, they also, obviously the show's on, you know, decades. And so the characters, like, actually do grow and change. And, like, Flanders was originally presented as, like, look at this asshole, you know?
Right.
Look at this happy, wrong. Like, they're like, they're like, basically the message of the show is, like, this is a douchey guy, like, and the only thing about him is he's religious and too nice.
He's just annoying neighbor.
Too much. And eventually, like, they give him more depth, and they're like, oh, and so I like that the same way, like, on Parks and Rec, you know, which is, like, one of the nicest, funniest shows
that existed.
And, like, because it started out, like, there's some characters, like, you know, April's character is, like, you know, mean, even to the end, like, she's, like, for no reason mean to some people, but then, like, they let her soften, and they show her, they let you see through, like,
she falls in love.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And, like, and she has a very subversive love and life and everything. Like, she's, you know, like the cartoonish version of a hipster grown up, you know, that's like, okay, but I guess everybody grows up and these things make me happy, so don't tell anybody. But and like the same thing on The Simpsons, that, you know, if they just were like, Homer's always like this, Bart's always like this, Lisa's always like this, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Everybody gets to be, you know, right sometimes, wrong sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, which isn't, you know, which is like, in real life, that's the way it is, except for me. I'm right all the time.
Yeah, I feel like if you had shown this episode or pitched the premise of this episode to people during season one of Bart, you know, you'd be pretty surprised that that's the direction that they took the show. Mm-hmm. But it just works so naturally. And like all good Simpsons episodes, so many good jokes.
Right.
I love Marge in this episode. One of my favorite Margeisms is, there are two, but an alligator with sunglasses.
Oh, yeah.
Now I've seen everything.
Yeah, it's so
street
good.
Signs, indoors, whatever.
I love it. Yeah, I love it. Her momisms are so good.
Oh, she's so good.
And that also, like, her being the foil to the Applebee's type, mm-hmm. you know, decor that Mo has put up. Like, it's not that, like, she's wrong and then it's right. Like, oh, yeah. Like, we're not like, come on, lady. We all get what's going on with that alligator with sunglasses.
Right, no, that's, she's so genuine thing. In that moment. It's so great. Yeah, I love it. And yeah. it makes a good case for Mo too in some weird way. Of like, cool, like I'm glad he did this.
That's what I would call Mo's restaurant, in the moment.
In the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, good pun.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can I tell you, I don't know if this is against your rules or guidelines. Let's say I'll break a guideline or bend it. But this is not from this episode, but just a Simpsons related thing that is real meaningful. I think it's a George Meyer thing. Like, the story I heard is that George Meyer, like, one, you know, they're like, this guy, he's like, we're all funny, but he's the funniest.
Right.
And he came up with a gag in an episode where there's like a construction worker on a truck. And he's like, oh, my wife forgot to cut my sandwich. And then it cuts across to, you see, like, a telephone line coming. And then he's like, oh, and he sees it, and he holds it up, and then it cuts back, and it's like, oh, the line, the sandwich, and then the line cuts off his whole hand. and it's just like, what a beautiful, like, it's funny, the whole, even if it had just cut the sandwich, that would have been a fine, we're like, oh, that's a fine joke.
Right. But, yeah, and, sorry,
yeah,
go ahead.
I guess the point is just that then from that point on, they'd all be like, it, okay, this is funny, but is it slices off the hand funny?
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that is the famous story. I mean, that moment in particular, that one joke, I've heard people get so excited about again and again and again because it tested limits. Like, it really pushed what you can do. I mean, suddenly you're able to make that kind of joke now.
Hey, right.
That's a really big deal.
It's a cartoon. We don't have to get any, like, CGI involved.
Yeah. I know. I think I'm sure they forgot that a lot of the time because it was so grounded.
So grounded.
Yeah.
But some of the best moments in The Simpsons are very absurd. A moment that I love very much that I wouldn't have remembered because it was just so quick is Homer in one episode is in the episode where Bart swallows like the crusty,
the jagged crusty-o.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a moment where he's trying to give advice about that. And he ends up just giving the advice. Hey, if someone tells you don't feed the bears, man, don't feed those bears. He lifts up his arm and then there's a baby bear biting him. And then he puts it down. And you never see it again.
I love stuff like that. I loved how absurd they would get, you know.
Totally. And they do it in lots of ways. In this episode, they do a very fun idea of that Bart is having where he buys the little Just Add Water dinosaur.
Oh, yeah.
And it becomes this giant thing that eats Lisa, mm-hmm. and then you see it in real life, which is way funnier because we know what he expected it to be, and
of
it
course.
Makes it perfect.
Yeah, it's so good.
What other moments or anything about this episode?
Let's see. So, good prank in the beginning, and yeah, I did also, like, I love that the reverend stealing money, or, you know, just not even stealing money, just collecting money. That's, like, to make clear, like, that scene wasn't wasn't implying that he is, like, you know, embezzling or doing anything wrong. Just that, like, the church gets a lot of money from people.
It seems par for course. Like, it seemed very much just like he's not trying to hide anything.
He's not doing anything wrong. He's just, we make money, so we put it through this machine, and now we have it. I feel like we've, like, covered, I mean, the scene with the comic book store guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Favorite character.
A recurring joke within this episode that I really love is so when Bart is trying to find his soul again, you know, Milhouse, when he goes to Milhouse's grandma's and tracks Milhouse down and says, give me back my soul. He says, I sold it, I'm sorry. And then he goes to the comic book shop and asks if he remembers, you know, a kid or something. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't remember what this is. But Bart basically saying, like, did you see a kid here with, like, playing with a piece of paper?
Oh, that joke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that was the exterminator guy.
Yeah,
sorry.
When he went to Milhouse's house.
Yeah.
Milhouse.
Yeah, yeah. You don't forget something like that.
Yeah.
A kid with a piece of paper.
That was so, yeah. Did you see a kid leaving here with a piece of paper? Oh, yeah. You don't forget something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
that
man.
Joke is really great. And I wanted to touch back on, we were talking earlier in the episode, earlier about the different names that we would give Moe's restaurant if we had the chance. I wanted to talk some names we may have forgotten. Homer's suggestions for what Moe should name the restaurant.
Oh, sure.
Included Chairman Moe's Magic Wok and Madman Moe's Pressure Cooker. Both very good names.
Yeah, if you're not using them yet, jump on it.
I really love that in that scene. So everything is like about, it's during the renovation, is about to be unveiled for the new restaurant, and Barney is underneath one of the sheets that's underneath all the booths, and he just keeps going, I like it, I hate it.
really good.
I think he liked them all except for the one that Mo chose.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, one of the things that you may have missed in this episode, one of the specials on Mo's board is ranchy wingy thingies.
Oh, it's really nice. Good. I didn't see that.
No. Yeah.
This book's
I
got
love
everything.
It. They do.
There was
they
a
do.
Joke right at the beginning, like a visual like word thing that I don't remember what it was, but it was like the first scene. It like zoomed in on a thing. I don't know if that's there, but check out the first scene and you'll see a zoomy thing.
Oh, what? On the marquee at the church? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It no, says, no shirt, no shoes, no salvation.
Yep. I was about to say that. It's really good.
That's good. I mean, the scene with the comic book store guy, like right before Bart, you know, like almost gives up. He's like, because Milhouse sold it to him, you know, right. And he goes and he's like, do you have it? And he's like, no, we sold it last night. We had a very particular, an interested party for that particular item.
Right, right, right. Like and somebody like, who's what? Very interested in little boys' souls.
And I mean, I remember watching it. I remember when I watched it the first time, I'm like, what? How did it? How?
Yeah.
Who did this? How right, did that happen?
Right. Yeah.
You wanted answers.
And then you find out, oh, man, I mean, because, and it's a nice thing, like, in reality, like, in the reality of the world of the thing, like Lisa got it for him.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's really about, sweet. You know, love and kindness and family and learning and, mm-hmm. like, you know, actual, real, valuable things that, like, man, yeah, they know what they were doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that Lisa cares about Bart.
I know, it's so sweet.
I mean, they are my favorite siblings in the whole wide world.
So I was going to ask, Mike, you're a comedian and a writer and a podcaster and many, many things. How have the Simpsons influenced your life today?
I mean, I guess today I haven't regularly watched in some number of years.
Right.
You know, like I watched religiously, as some would say, from probably, you know, like early teen years through college, probably, you know, for about a decade I probably watched. So, I mean, it impacted my life, and then, like, I will watch this. It was, like, you know, when I was in college, like, a social event that we all, you know, it's a thing. Like, you know, if somebody doesn't like it, that's fine. You know, I probably didn't always feel that way, but I, you know, at this point in my life, I'm like,
you're more zen.
There's a lot of things.
Right.
Everybody can't like all the same things equally.
Yeah.
We're all different people. It's allowed. I'm fine. Like, but I feel like it had such a long storied history. Like, there are so many, like, there has to be some things in it that
right.
everybody could enjoy. I'm like, you're like finding somebody who doesn't like any deep thoughts. And you're like,
yeah.
How do you, like, what about this one? What about that? What about,
yeah.
you gotta, there's gotta be, like, do you like the ones that I hate? I mean, not that I hate any, but there's ones that don't resonate with me as much. There's, you know, like, sillier ones or whatever. The point is,
I have a Jack Handy book in my car right now. I
do
just
you
wanna
really?
Say.
Which one?
The Stench of Honolulu.
Oh, sure. It's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
That and The Simpsons go very well together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are things that I have, I don't know if I've actually put them there yet, but I have a life syllabus that I'm very careful to, like, you know, when you meet people and you're like, you haven't seen this, you haven't seen that, you know, like, I don't want to have too many things that I have like that,
right.
But I have, you know, like The Muppets and
yeah.
Calvin and Hobbes
yes.
and The Princess Bride. Like, those might be the only things on it right now.
Yep.
It's pretty good.
But, I mean, that's me as a kid and you as a kid, I feel like. Like,
yeah.
that's pretty much our childhood summed up.
But yeah, mm-hmm. like, some Simpsons, are on there as well. Like, I would never say, like, you must watch all Simpsons.
No.
Right, right. I'm with you. I would never, whenever I find out that somebody hasn't seen something that I like, I try to be as diplomatic as possible and just say, oh, you should watch it. You're in for a treat.
I hope you like it.
Yeah. I hope you like it. I'm
try
not.
The Simpsons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would never judge anyone for not liking the things that I like or not like, having seen it.
What are you doing? Spending like more time outside than I do?
You know? Yeah. God, I thought we were in this together.
I mean, like Zach Sherwin, the aforementioned friend of ours, mm-hmm. he's a guy who he watches less TV things than I do, but he's done, like, he's listened to more rap than I have. Like,
yeah. We all have our own strengths.
And so when I make recommendations to him, like, you know, I don't ever, our game, our guideline is, I don't really, I'm like, you should see this, because he'll be like, I'm not going to see it. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'll be like, here's a thing that I liked. Like, I'll be like, you definitely don't need to. But like, here's a thing that I really liked, and I think, you know, we are similar in a way that
right.
would make it so that you also, look, I'm not going to tell you how to live your life, but I will tell you that I think your life might be a little fuller of joy.
I think that's a beautiful way to present it.
I do what I can.
Mm-hmm. So we have two questions to wrap this up. The first mm-hmm. is, which of the Simpsons characters would you say you relate to the most?
Oh, I guess Lisa probably, offhand,
yeah.
Lisa. But if I give it more thought, I mean, there are so many characters. Probably, I mean, if you ask somebody else at various points in my life, they might have been like, no, Martin, you know, like,
right, right.
More Milhouse, you know.
Well, that's terrifying, asking somebody else what you would relate to.
Yeah.
Or how people see what Simpsons character do others.
Do you seem like?
That's like the ultimate hearing your voice on someone's voicemail.
Oh, yeah. The ultimate is what Simpsons character do you think I am?
Like someone else taking your BuzzFeed quiz.
I would have, that's so funny. I would have said Lisa for you as well.
I'll stick with it.
I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's great. And then the final question is, if you could find one, well, I'll just ask the question how I always do. I was trying to make it easier.
Quick question. Has anybody ever said Maggie?
That'd be
I see
very
myself
funny.
As a baby. I don't really talk.
Not yet, but I'm not holding out, you know?
Yeah. Next time.
What would your lesson be that you write on the chalkboard as Bart?
Ooh.
For this something from this episode.
Let's see. I mean, the right on the nose one would be like, I will not sell my soul. But, you know, I guess I will not claim to know all the ways that everything works forever.
Yeah. I love it. I think it's great.
Thank you. We have some Simpsons popping up on the screen.
Look how fun.
There's a ghost here.
Perfect. Actually, it's our souls.
Oh, it's a list of characters in case we want to be more thorough.
For the listeners at home, there is someone who's actually scaring us all by pulling up The Simpsons, and it's very fun.
What if I was
we did not know it was happening.
I'm Patty, but definitely not Selma.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Where can people find you online?
Mike Kaplan, spelled the weird way I do it, .com, MYQKAPLAN. .com, or you can put Mike Kaplan into, you know, all the other things, like Twitter, Vine, Instagram, where I have, I think, 6 photos. Mm-hmm. Maybe 7 now. Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know when this drops. But also...
maybe 7. Who knows?
My podcast.
How enticing of a lure to get more followers.
Absolutely. Who can say when 7 will come? I don't even know if it's 6 right now. It could be...
Who can say when it, 7 will
it
come?
It'll come after 6, but it might have already happened.
Right. It could be up to 8 by now. We don't know.
Don't even. Might be double digits. I'm positive as of this speaking, it is single digits. But my podcast is called Hang Out With Me. Allie has been a guest. Julia, you should be.
I would love to
tell you how to live your life.
I would love to.
You may be a guest in the future. Maybe you already are. Maybe you're my 8th guest.
Oh, no.
Maybe you're my 7th Instagram. it's at keithandthegirl.com/hang. And my Netflix special is on Netflix. You can look for my name.
Hooray.
There also.
I was just about to ask about it. It's really, really great. Everyone should watch it.
Is that the question? Yeah.
No, that wasn't the question. I was going to ask if it's still on Netflix.
It, as far as I know, is still there.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me join you.
And then we will see you next week.
Bye.
Cool. That was great. That was wonderful.
Delete.